Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Go back to the Dole queue. Please don't tell Pete from the pub, because he'll judge me, but I don't mind. I've been paying my taxes on time. I'm not central, not essential. I've never worked for the NHS, yet I've clapped hands and I beat pants. Put away the kitchen utensils now. Don't let your P45 give you chills, because we need jobs. We need 101 part-time jobs. Hello, you're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs with me, Giles Bidder, where I speak to music makers about how they do the thing they do on a day-to-day level, the stories that have come from prioritizing music over everything else in life. A few years ago, I figured, do you know what? This is actually a mad thing that people do to make their art, and there's got themselves into some tricky situations. So that's what I'm here for. And on today's episode, I speak to Willie J. Healy. His new album, Bunny, is out very soon. He's been on tour with Arctic Monkeys, with Jamie T. And these songs are just excellent snapshots of a delightful time. It's sunshine music. It's morning music. I love a good iced coffee in the morning. And Willie J. Healy, an iced coffee, you know, it's like when you go to somewhere fancy and it's like, we'll blend this flavour with that flavour, with this IPA, with this biscuit that we also sell at the pub, then you get the perfect taste. That's a bit like Willie J. Healy and iced coffee for me. So take from that what you will, I guess. Cheers for listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs, here every Tuesday and Thursday. So feel free to subscribe to get notified when they come out. Got some brilliant guests swinging through all the time. Here's Willie J. Healy on 101 Part-Time Jobs. Tell me what you're thinking.
Tell me something good. The further you dive into it, the more you encounter like the different ways that people hustle really and make it happen. And I've kind of been, you know, I've had ups and downs and periods where I haven't needed to make to kind of work on the side, or, you know, it hasn't been a stress. And I've had moments where I'm like literally trying to tell my people I work for, like, I'm coming back, but like I have to go for a month, you know, like,
yeah.
But yeah, it's a funny thing.
How good did you get at doing the white lie or to your future boss?
Terrible. I'm the worst. I am the least kind of, what's the word? Employable person ever, because I've been fortunate. I've kind of like managed to mainly do music for a while now, but the times I have had a job, I'm just rubbish at, like, I'm just really unorganized as well. So I'm like, oh, I've actually got this thing I forgot, like, there's no time for a lie.
I think ironically that puts you in good stead for what you're trying to do, because if you can put yourself in a position where you actually you're not employable for anything else, then you just give yourself the one option.
It's a blessing and a curse, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I was really watching an interview with Central C on that brilliant Chicken Shop Dates, and he was saying that, and I see this, I see it in authors, for example, because, you know, you spend 2 years writing a novel and no one else has read it. You'd have no idea. You have to be delusional.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very powerful, it's a powerful thing. Do you know what I mean? Does that resonate with you?
It does, yeah. I think that I'm so immature and delusional that I've been kind of simple-minded enough to trundle through. And I think the times I stop and I look at what's really going on and what the outcomes of this could be, I'm like, it's so overwhelming to me that I just can't, yeah. I can't be anything but delusional, really. And I think a lot of my friends that seem to, you know, do well are a bit like that.
I think this is the power in it. And, you know, I'm trying to do this podcast for a living and it's getting there slowly. And, you know, I'd like to do more radio. And it's totally different, but it's a similar sort of thinking. When it's go time, I'm fucking here. I'm ready. Get on the phone. Whatever I'm doing, I'll get on the phone. When it's a quiet day, I drive myself up the wall.
Yeah. It's such a roller coaster, isn't it? I guess because you're like, you know, you want to be busy all the time, but that's not really how it works.
Do you remember the first time you thought, and it could be a first tour, it could have been, you know, the first conversation with someone who's releasing your records potentially in the future, where you thought, all right, you know, I am going to prioritize this. Like, this has given me that little ounce of confidence that I've needed to back myself.
I've been quite fortunate. Yeah. I think really, like, I've got very supportive parents, almost like toxically so, you know what I mean? Like probably a dangerous amount, like the things I've done so far and things I've shown interest in, they're so biased that they've told me, oh, you're so good at that. Like, you should do that. And, you know, they look at me with rose tinted glasses, I think. So quite early on, I was led to believe that anything was possible. Mm. And I think I've been delusional for a long time now.
Did you grow up like skateboarding or BMXing, any of that stuff where you could put your hands to it and get creative?
Not really, no. I actually was like really into like football and boxing, which led me to feel like a little bit of an imposter when I started making friends in music. So I felt like the UK equivalent of like a jock, you know, even though I'm not, but,
sportsman.
Yeah. You know, like, oh, sports and like health and, you know, everyone I was meeting when I started getting into music were like, you know, about partying and skating and like subculture. But I think, you know, there's arguments to say that boxing and football and anything you kind of, it can be creative. And I've always been like very creative within whatever I've done. So yeah.
Coming into Bunny, your fan base has sort of grown, you know, like strong and steadily, I would say, from my perception. Is that kind of something that you see? Is that something that you're aware of?
I think I try not to think about it too much, but, you know, like leading into an album, you're kind of forced to focus on these things because they're relevant, you know. And yeah, I feel like I definitely am in touch with this gradual kind of feeling of growth personally, and like in terms of like people hearing it and, you know, getting recognition from people I wouldn't have ever dreamed of, you know, even hearing my music years ago. And I do, yeah, I'm aware of that kind of feeling. And like you said earlier about, you know, when you get slow days or slow months, that's when it's like pulling teeth, because I'm like, wow, but is anything happening? Like, you know, and, but it has been a gradual kind of progression, which is nice.
I suppose it's out of your control, right? Because you're working with people who are spreading the word and you're playing gigs. You can only just do you.
Yeah, it's all a bit kind of in the ether, really. And I think from my experience, like, I know everyone's different, but it's not good for me, really, to think about like ways of, and it's not, like you said, it's not really even possible. You know, I feel like the harder I think about it, well, the more I try, the less seems to happen. The more I'm just like myself and focus on music, it seems to work itself out. I guess it's just hard to accept that there's so much out of your control.
As a footballer and a boxer, do you think that gave you, I'm thinking here about, you know, when things like that happen and things are slow or it's just quiet downtimes, like what can you do to just keep on doing your craft? And is, you know, I wonder, from football and boxing, there's a lot of training, there's a lot of research, a lot of reading. What do you do? You know, is it songwriting? Is it listening to Neil Young records and, you know, like educating yourself?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a cycle. Like everyone, I think I go through periods where I can't be bothered to do anything and I'm just moping around. But I do think from years of training and trying to be strict with yourself and really just like holding yourself accountable for your own feelings, I think that's something I learned from boxing specifically, because it was like so intense and so like no one's going to tell you to get up and do this, you have to do it yourself or you're going to get your ass kicked, kind of thing.
And you're actually going to really be on the ground sometimes.
Yeah And I think that has stayed with me. It's not always that present, but when the going gets a little tough, I'm like, wait, I know what to do here. I need to focus, keep busy, be healthy, you know, enjoy exercise. Exercise is a big one for me. When I exercise, it makes me kind of happy.
What's your one? Are you a jogger? Are you a gymmer?
I'm not a gymmer. I can't gym it. Too many mirrors in the gym for me.
But quite a lot of glass and mirrors, isn't there?
A lot of muscle and a lot of mirrors and glass. And like spray bottles, you know what I mean? It's like, I can't be dealing with it. But I used to love running, but then I think I got runner's knee. I do box fit, really. Yeah. And I ride my bike a lot. I like Brilliant. Cycling. Yeah.
Bunny is such a great, such a like liberating sounding record. I know you went to the States and you spent some time there. What was that like? Was that part of what we're talking about? Inspiration, being in a different place, getting excited, meeting some cool people.
Yeah, I mean, it affected the kind of outcome of the album massively, because I was in someone else's world really for a couple of months. I was with the producer Lauren, and he's got a beautiful house and he's got really cool friends, and you know, it's always a treat for me to experience somewhere new through music. And it just felt like I could escape into this into this bunny world, you know, like it's just all music every day. And everyone drives on the other side of the road and everything has cheese on it. Yeah, and there's like 10 ways to have a fried egg and like, oh, I feel like all of that plays into, you know, a jar of peanut butter costs like $25.
Really?
Stays with you, yeah. Stays with you. You're doing vocal takes, I'm thinking like, God, I better make this count.
What you say about getting into that world of bunny, it's almost like there's that thing about the more specific a lyric, the more universally it can be felt. And equally, when you tell your story, or the deeper you go inside of yourself, like the more esoteric you get, like that can allow other people to do the same. And I think that's the most important, that's the most special thing about music for me. And it's funny, it almost seems like it's hard to get to that point, even though that's the clear nugget of gold down there.
Yeah, I guess we're all like kind of hard on ourselves, and it's hard to, I personally find, I don't find it hard to sing about my own self in a relatable way. You know, like we all have feelings and we all have these emotions, and I'm not guarded about that at all, really. But I think that it's a hard line to walk, because you feel like, I feel like, am I being cheesy? Is this interesting enough? When really, like you say, the most simple, honest kind of lines often are the ones that people, and I as a music fan, like really relate to. But something happens when it's coming from you. You kind of lose sight of actually what the whole point is. You know what I mean?
You can kind of look over it, can't you? It's like the most special thing is the most obvious thing, because that's you. You wake up, you're that person every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't really get to witness yourself in a way that you do others.
Is it the same with the style as well? Because the, you know, what you're wearing and the colors, they're so much fun. There's a bit of New Radicals in there. Everyone wants to have a good time every now and then, you know, that's what music's for, right? And then this is a way to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really nice to hear, like people that have listened to the album of like tell me how upbeat it is and how like happy it makes them feel. And I guess it's comfort to me, because like, I didn't really think that much about that side of things. I just think was having fun making it, and like the things I like, the sleeve and the clothes I was wearing on the cover and stuff, it's like I didn't think about it at all, really. I think I, you know, so it's all quite practical. Like I had a bad haircut, so I put a hat on, and like, you know, like, so it's really nice when, you know, you hear these, like someone else looks at something or hears something, you go, oh God, this makes me feel like this, because I'm like, oh yeah, like I was kind of completely unaware of a lot of that when I did it, which is quite nice. I think that's probably a sign that you're doing something right.
Yeah, when you're having the most natural conversation, you don't think about what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and I didn't think about, you know, like the overall feeling of the album, really. I just did it, and then now I guess when I look back, I'm like, oh yeah, it's very upbeat, and that's nice, because I'm going to have to play these bloody songs, so.
Yeah, you might as well have a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember handing the record in and what you did that day when you handed the masters in, or when you got the, you know, the masters back? I mean, what was that whole, what are you like with at the end of that process? Because it's sort of like fading into the next process of kind of hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
What's your thing? What do you do?
Well, the first thing I do usually is I listen to something over and over and over and over and over and over again, which is kind of sad. But it's something I'm sure a lot of people do it. But I was just glad. I think I was just like, thank fuck, that's finished. Because it went, you know, we were doing mixes and we had not that long to do it all. So by the time we got to the end of handing stuff over, I was like, please God, don't let them like kind of raise anything else that's on this album, because I'm completely sick of it all. But, you know, the feeling of like being able to actually listen to it and hear it comes for me a lot later. I need to forget about it and then come back. But it felt amazing to hand it over and be done with it, and, you know, feel like I put my best foot forward. And because I had made these really weird, funky demos and sent them to Yala, and the response was really supportive, but also like, what is this? And are you going to put real drums on it? And are they going to be faster than these really slow, weird, funky type demos you sent us? And I think I was just really, I felt like Yala had taken a bit of a gamble to allow me to go to New York and do that, really, based on those demos. And I was really proud when we got to hand them over, because I thought, like, hopefully I'd done them proud, you know. And all of their fears of like, what is this? I think I felt like, oh, I've got something I'm really, you trusted me and here it is. And I think it's great. I think you're going to love it. And they did, so.
Who's the producer? How were you introduced to him?
His name's Lauren Humphrey. And we were kind of introduced to each other through Ian McAndrew, who is here at Wildlife, so my management company. And I had sent some demos. I'd recorded an album at home, basically. And Ian suggested, you know, maybe, I think weirdly, Ian had sent them to Alex Turner, and Alex Turner was like, maybe Lauren could help because of the sound of it all.
Where does Alex Turner come into the picture?
We've got the same manager. So I think it had kind of gone to Ian, and maybe a song had got to Alex. And then, I mean, that's what I feel like happened based on what I've been told. And then I was actually a bit fed up, because I was like, well, the album's done. I've done it all at home. Like, don't want to do it again. And they were like, just talk to Lauren on the phone, you know. And funnily enough, I thought Lauren was James Ford. They were like, there's this great producer we work with, you know, and like, just talk to him on the phone. And I was like, oh, if it's James Ford, then I will. And like, I haven't told Lauren this. And then I got on the phone and I was like, I thought James Ford was English. Like, this American guy. But we just hit it off, like, you know, immediately, and ended up speaking for about 4 hours on the phone. Yeah. And, you know, it's, I feel very lucky to have met Lauren, like, because he's amazing as a person and as a producer.
That's a really funny story. Yeah. That's good. I like that a lot.
That's not James Ford. Oh, damn it.
I quite often think there'll be someone in your position where, you know, there are those ups and downs of the reality of it, or however you want to call it, the career, the reality. I often wonder about these people who are like, so like at the top of their game, like James Ford or like Lauren or like the management company, where it's, you know, they obviously see something in you to work together and try and elevate each other ultimately, and like make something cool, make something special, synergy. But I often think, like, isn't that funny that there is that industry where there's that huge part of the industry that the people that are coming up are having to, you know, fight for it. And on Monday or Tuesday, they might be working at Asda, and on Wednesday, they're going for the session on Thursday, and Friday, they're back at Asda.
Yeah.
But I wonder what, like, have you had those kinds of conversations with those folk?
Yeah, I mean, when I first met them, I was full-time music. So that was a few years ago now. And scraping by, you know what I mean? Like, I say full-time music, but living cheaply and kind of whatever, not paying much rent and stuff. But it's become more present now because, you know, I've got a little job, and it's just one of those things. It's like, at times I think it's easy to feel, and maybe this is just me, but I'm like, God, it sucks, I have to do this. You know, feeling
the little job that you're doing.
Yeah, the little job, or like, you know, going on tour.
What is it?
It's just a little bar job, yeah. And I'm nice. I'm lucky, really, because I'm working for my friend, but I think he's just fired me. I think he's just fired me because I've got too many tours. But we do talk about it, but really it's like, it's kind of irrelevant, really. Like, I'm so adamant on playing music that I don't like to, it's not that I don't like to talk about this, like, I'll do whatever,
yeah,
really. And we've spoken about it a bit, and like, I speak to Lauren about it, we kind of, you know, he's like, oh God, it sucks. But, and I think at first I was like, God, it sucks, you know, but now I'm like, that's just how it is. And
yeah,
there's so many people doing that, and so many people making amazing art throughout history that have done that. And
yeah,
you know, I think it's our job as artists to just pull our socks up, really, and get on with it.
And I think it's our job as fans to have compassion, or like, understand that human element of it. You know, of course, I, like, by having this conversation, I'm very aware, I never want to pull someone's mystery away from them by asking them questions, especially now with socials and all the rest of it, the way that we see people's lives on the daily, you know, it's that compassion. Also, I think that it has that element of like inspiring people to do their art. I mean, I feel like more and more over the last few years, I meet people who are like, oh yeah, I make masks, and they'll show me their Instagram. They'll be like, and I'll be like, what the fuck? That's crazy. And it's like, yeah, you know, I do it every day after work, but I make masks. I'm not a barista. I make art. You know, I'm an artist. And I think that's a really cool way to think. Like you can make a cottage industry out on Instagram now. You know, everyone knows someone who's making beads or necklaces and selling them. That's cool.
Yeah, it is inspiring. And I think like you, I've met people that, you know, I think with maybe not everyone, but I definitely grew up thinking like, if you get a job, you kind of failed, you know, like if you're working, then you're not an artist. And I mean, that's so far from the truth. And I've met amazing, successful artists that also just work, you know, and have other jobs and do other things. And I think from my experience, it was a bit of a kick up the ass, but a really good one. Because I want to do music really. And I was like, God, this is actually really hard work working in this bar for a second. Yeah. And I was like, God, this is hard. And then I was like, this is exactly what I needed, because it just reminds me of how much I love music and how important it is to me.
And like call it like taking it for granted, or calling it like a reminder that if that's doing a good thing, it's a good thing.
Exactly.
Sometimes I hate going to the gym. I'm like, I don't want to go to the gym today. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And I do it. And after an hour, I get back and I'm like emailing people. And all of a sudden, I've got these new ideas. I'm like, come on. Yeah. I'll have it. You know, let's have it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny how you can't, like, doing the thing that you don't want to do can change you that way. You know, even having a big, like, lots of people don't like drinking pints of water in the day. Have a glass of water. You feel better.
Yeah. I got really into, like, I mean, I know loads of people have gotten into this, but my dad became slightly obsessed with like cold showers and cold dips, right? And I wouldn't call myself a Wim fan. I'm not really a Wim fan, but like I got into like cold, getting into cold water, and the feeling you get afterwards is like a bit like you at the gym. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I do not want to do this. 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, this is just punishment. Why am I doing this to myself? You get in and you get out and you're like, I feel like I could run through a brick wall now. Like, I feel amazing.
Brilliant.
We need that stuff. That's my point. We need the stuff. It's not all about getting a cake and eating it.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What have you won? Part-time jobs, 101. Part-time jobs, 101. Part-time jobs, 101. Part-time jobs.
These gigs that you've done, the big supports, what are the big supports like? Does it feel like trying to win over the crowd? Because there's going to be a percentage of people who are aware of you, seeing you for the first time. How do you approach it? How do you go into that?
I hadn't done that many, you know, like this year is really the first time I've done support tours like that, that are like arenas and stadiums. And I've learned a lot. You know, and then we first did it, I think I was playing like we were in a club, you know, like just stood in one spot and just like hoping that people like the music. And by the time, like fast forward to the tour we just did, I mean, I'm like running all over the place now, high-fiving people and hugging them and literally just trying to win people over and thinking like, if I can hug 16 people across the front, that's probably 16 people that will remember that gig.
Definitely.
And I think I mean, maybe this is good and bad, but I realized, I was like, instead of doing this guitar solo, like, is that really the best way to make a mark on this group of people that don't know who we are, probably can't spell my name properly? So instead of now, I'm like, on this support tour, I'm like, right, when I have the solos, space. Instead, I just like run along and try and high five as many people as I can, and like take selfies with people. And I think, it's just like trying to win people over and give people something to remember.
It sounds like a lot of fun doing that as well.
A lot of fun. Once I opened that door, I was like, kind of don't want to play guitar anymore.
There's that element of being like a clown, but being a clown who has good songs.
Yeah.
Is that something that you channel?
It's a fine line, I think. And I think something I was really aware of before and hesitant to be like, I really first and foremost care about playing well and the music sounding good. That's my priority. And I feel like when that other stuff, when the show side of things starts to affect that, then you've got a problem. Mm. But I think if you do things with a good heart and you're genuine, can't really go wrong, and I don't take myself too seriously, and I'm willing to be the clown at times. And I think actually seeing the way people respond, it's like, I'm just kind of being myself.
Mm.
And that's an extension of this music, and I think that's where I'm at with it at the minute. I might that might change when I see some footage of myself running around.
But you see it, like, no matter how someone is acting, there's some like weird voodoo human nature shit where we can tell when someone's fronting or like putting a mask on.
It's weird, isn't it? It's
that's like what dogs have, you know, the way the dogs can know where ghosts are. Dogs know when the man's a bad man.
Yeah, you can sense it. Also, you can feel it, you know, like I can feel it if I'm doing something that doesn't I'm like putting my foot up on the monitor or something and it doesn't feel right. I'm like, ugh, gives me the ick.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm aware.
You learned that lesson.
Yeah. I'm like figuring out where are these boundaries.
I've realized over this time that this conversation, it's not about jobs. It's everything that you're doing, even talking about putting your foot on the monitor and learning that's not the thing to do. That's part of it. That's part of the remit of what you're doing. Basically, I like hearing about people's work fails and work gaps. Are you someone who's goofed around at work, you know, purposefully or not? Are you what's your talking about, you know, side hustles? I mean, did you get a teenage job?
My first real job was I was labouring. My dad's a plasterer, and I was labouring for my dad for a couple of years.
That's a nice hookup, really.
It's a good hookup. It's hard work, but it's like, you know, you're the boss's son, really.
Can't get bullied.
You kind of end up getting bullied more somehow. And actually, like, having spoken to my dad about it since, he's kind of like taking the credit away from the hard work that I did. He's like, yeah, but you know, I looked after you. I'm like, I don't remember it really being like that, actually, Dad. And everyone's like, oh, it wasn't a real job. He was working for his dad. So it's like, kind of.
You can't win.
Yeah, I can't really win. But I didn't get to mess around that much. He was very serious about it all. I then got a job as a greengrocer years after, and I did actually get in trouble because I would be left to run the shop. It was like a small greengrocer's, and a guy was really intense. And he was a lovely guy, but kind of manipulated me into running his shop for him, but paying me the same amount because obviously I'm green, but you know, wet man, and he is. Yeah. And I was like, while he was out, he had these big stacks of baklava by the till. And every day I used to have one. And I thought, I deserve this. And if he'd come around the corner, I'd get it. And I'd like, put it away, you know. And one day he came, and this went on for months, you know, of me thinking that I'm getting one over on this guy. Because, you know, we're kind of taking advantage of each other. And he came around the corner, I was eating one. I was like, oh, you know, I won't say his name. Let's just call him Dave. I was like, sorry, Dave. You caught me. I was hungry. And he's like, you know, I have a camera up there. He's like, I know you eat them every day.
You never notice the camera.
Horrible. Horrible. Awful.
I worked in the supermarket before, and they had the sort of the fresh produce that had just come in off the lorry, and they're ready to put out these pears. And all my mates worked in the supermarket was actually joyous because they'd always have mad Christmas parties and everyone working got a plus one. So if half your mates are working there, then your entire extended friend group could all chip along to this brilliant party with all these older strangers. Always a great time. For some reason, I took the job as a till boy. rather than be on Dry Goods, for example, where Tom and Harry were having a blast, you know, to try and sort of reclaim back some kind of agency. I picked up a pear and I munched into this pear and I swear to God, it was the nicest, juiciest, crispiest. You know, pears are a bit of a balance between crunchiness and taste.
Yeah.
Right. And this one just had the best of both worlds. It was beautiful. Had the first bite, I turned around and my manager, my big manager was there and I kind of had to put it inside my mouth and just pretend nothing had happened. I felt pretty worried about it. I mean, in retrospect, I was 16 and so what? Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't feel like that at the time. It didn't feel like that when I got caught, you know, with the sweet stuff in my mouth. I was like, oh God.
It's scary. It's like being told off by a teacher and you start welling up. You're like, what? Yeah. Why am I doing this?
Yeah. Why am I crying?
What about recent time? You said you're about to, you may or may not be getting fired from your current boss. Have there been times of firings because of tours?
I mean, I basically fire myself because I feel like I push my luck without trying to. I think this is the most it's felt like I've been fired. Because before I've kind of like picked things up and then left them and had not that many jobs, but a few that have been easy to just be like, I can only do this for this long and then that's that, kind of everybody knows. But this recent one, I've been bar back.
It's a lower rung, isn't it?
It's pretty low, but I actually have learned to enjoy it and I like kind of messing with people and stuff. But
and you've got your role, you know what you're doing there, right?
Well,
so you fill it up, you know, it's like you do the role.
There's a lot to do as well, actually, which was a plus because it keeps you busy the whole time and you're not really there to, you can't really twiddle your thumbs much. There's always something to do.
Yeah.
But, That's the biggest fire experience. I was talking to my mate and he's such a sweet, lovely, supportive friend. And, you know, it happened before where I had these dates and I, you know, and they clashed with stuff he'd booked in and I told him and he was upset, you know, because he's like, I'm trying to run a business here, mate, you know, and I'm like, I completely get it, but I do have to go and do this. And it was a bit like, you know, we left it on a, just please be more organized. Tell me when things come in and I'll try my best to employ you kind of thing. And I literally just got back from tour and the same happened again. And I was like, you know, his name's Ben. Shout out to Ben because I love him to bits. And he's done me a massive solid in the first place by having me there. And I was like, Ben. And he was like, I knew this was going to happen. He's like, yeah, what can you do? And I think he's going to leave me on the books and give me the odd shift.
That's very nice.
He's a sweetheart, yeah.
It sounds like getting their school report where they always say the same thing. Always talks in class, always does the same thing over and over.
Yeah. It was a very funny dynamic. Probably quite hard for Ben because like I was pretty clueless when I started there and he would have to kind of tell me off for doing things wrong. You know what I mean? And I'd be like, are you serious, mate? And he's like, yes, I'm serious. Please, for God's sake. Just please, Will.
That's a good ego come down, isn't it?
Yeah, you're like, I'm not on stage now. Nobody here gives a fuck.
Willie, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. You know, I appreciate the time. So cheers for the stories, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
Nice one. So there he was, Willie J. Healy here on 101 Part-Time Jobs. His album Bunny is out next Friday. So go pre-save that. Jam the singles until then. They're all wonderful. See you next week for some more episodes. Cheers for listening. Please feel free to leave a review or rate it wherever you're listening to this. All that star giving, that stargazing does so much for the show. It helps me keep booking brilliant guests. So you'll be doing your part for the show. Thank you very much. See you soon.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.